Most days, someone will happily share with me that I'm old-fashioned, I'm an old lady, and good manners and superb professional etiquette don't matter anymore, Roey. It doesn't matter if you arrive late. It doesn't matter if you're not dressed to the dress code. It doesn't matter if you don't say please and thank you. It doesn't matter if you don't return your emails or text messages or telephone calls in a timely manner. The world is much more relaxed and casual now. It just doesn't matter. Interestingly, every day, multiple times throughout my day, unhappily, people will share with me that their business life is not going the way they would like it to go. They're either not earning the amount of money they would like to earn, they're not being promoted, they don't have enough customers or clients, their business is not as successful as they would like it to be, they don't have the respect of their customers, their clients, their team players, their boss, their work colleagues. And Roey, what do? I want to earn more money. I want my life to be more successful. But there seems to be a major disconnect between having good manners, treating people respectfully, having superb professional etiquette, and business or career success. So maybe we need to connect up that disconnection. Is it possible that we get judged by the first impression that we make? And we'll just take that a step further. Do you judge people by the way they treat you the first time you meet them or their first contact with you, whether it's email or text message or on Facebook? And is it possible that there are things that people will find annoying about us? There are things that people will just choose not to do business with us because of? And is it possible that if we have bad manners, there are some people that literally will not become our customer or our client, won't employ us, or will want to be firing us in a hurry? So here are some interesting examples. Just this last couple of days, I've been a part of a very interesting business deal that's gone south, literally $1 million deal. Now, the deal was with a big bank, and a big bank may not care too much about losing $1 million deal. Interestingly, however, $1 million, even in this day and age, is still a lot of money. And the reason that the deal went south is an email that was sent by a bank employee, which was abrupt and rude, was taken abruptly and rudely by a very successful business owner, and that business owner simply decided not to do business with the bank. Now, often banks think that we're doing you a favor because we're giving you money, but that's how banks make money. And literally, this business person is now gone to another bank because of one email from one poor etiquette of one bank employee. And if you are in a business that can afford to do that, congratulations, but most people are not. So something to really consider is, how do you write your emails? Do you return them on time or in a timely manner? Do you respond to all of your emails or do you ignore some? And do you use email as a communication? Now, in this day and age, text messaging, emailing, Facebook posting, words on a screen are a very normal way to communicate. But the challenge we've got with that from a professional etiquette point of view is simply that when you are typing words or people read your words, the hugest part of your communication is no longer available. So your facial expressions, your voice intonation, your body language, and that beautiful thing that happens when you meet somebody face to face where they can actually get a feel for you. We call that your ethos. You'll often hear me call it your sparkly bits. I've been calling it that for years. The thing about you as a person that becomes very real if people can see you. Well, when you are typing words into a screen, you lose all of that. And that's where professional etiquette on a screen can become even more important or can be massively damaging. So just be aware that when you send an email, when you send a text message, when you Facebook post, that people don't really know what you mean. And I'm sure you've been in a situation where you've read an email and you might have been in a bad mood or you're having a bad day or things aren't going very well and you misread that communication because you put your current emotional state into what that email said. And we get it wrong. We've often got it wrong, and I'm sure you have too. I do it all the time. So what seems to be a really great idea is to communicate as close to face-to-face as possible. So whether that's via Skype or you pick up the telephone and have a chat or you actually go and see the person. If you really want to do business with somebody, if you really want to build a relationship, it's been suggested that email, text messaging, and communicating on social media is a very poor form of communication. It's very poor etiquette. Now, for some big business owners who have been in business for a very long time, it is an inappropriate way to communicate. And I will share with you openly that there are many business owners that I deal with on a day-to-day basis, very successful multimillionaires, who if you send them an email as a first communication, they will actually just delete you because their headspace is, if you really want to do business with me, if you really want to contact me, you'll find a way that's more effective than just sending me an email. And of course, we do it. It's all easy, very easy for us to delete an email. The next interesting thing is that if you apply for a position via email, now some companies ask you to do that. And if you do that, you'll be part of a very large crowd. If you really want to get a position, wouldn't you want to do it differently to everybody else? And I always ask that question. If you send an email, once again, a tiny part of you is being delivered. If you actually show up in person, people will get the full experience of you. So perhaps avoid that that normal crowd mentality of just send an email, just send a text. Now, if you go further than that, there are bosses right now, business owners right now, HR managers right now who actually want to fire you if you're one of those people who communicates, I'm having a sick day via text, or I'm not coming to work today via email, or somebody who has quit their job, I'm not coming anymore via email or text message. Obviously, you're not going to be working in that position anymore, but you might find it difficult to get a position somewhere else, because be aware that the world is a pretty small place now, particularly because your social media profile can be accessed very easily. And if you have a bad reputation for being the person who has a sick day because you send in a text message or an email, or you quit your job by sending a text message or an email, you could get yourself a really bad reputation. And there are bosses who have obviously shared with me that, and they can't share it with you, just as a side note, they can't say to you, I want to get rid of this person now because they don't have the manners to call me directly or to contact me in person rather than sending me an email or a text message. But just be aware that there are bosses in this world right now who are wanting to fire people because of their inappropriate bad manners when it comes to communication, simply because you're texting and emailing versus getting in contact. The other interesting thing to be aware of is this thing called the sick day. And there's two parts to that. If you are sick, and of course humans get sick, but be aware that if you are constantly having sick days, that your boss is aiming to get rid of you pretty quickly. And again, they won't tell you that. They're not allowed to tell you that. But if you're always sick, there's a few things going on there. You're not looking after yourself. Somebody that's healthy, fit and strong and has a positive attitude will also have a strong immune system and is very unlikely to get sick. So please take note that that is a fairly obvious thing. Even if you do get sick and you're a healthy, fit, strong person with a positive attitude, you'll actually recover a lot quicker. And bosses are really aware of that. But I'm not talking about sick days. If you are sick and you are genuinely sick, then you call in and you say, I'm genuinely sick. This is the challenge that I have. I'm aiming to get better as quickly as possible. And what can I do in the meantime or after I get better to make up for the time that I've had off? Which, of course, would be great manners. But I'm not talking about that kind of sick day. I'm talking about the pretend blocked nose that happens on, I've got to have a sick day, I don't feel very well, that happens on most Monday mornings at most businesses. And then because of social media, that I can't come to work today because I feel very sick, ends up at the beach or at the horse races or at a shopping mall or at the movies because you've chucked a sickie. And from a professional etiquette point of view, just from a pure business integrity point of view, I don't know where the disconnect is. That is that not lying? If you're not sick and you ring up and you say, I'm sick, that's called a lie, which now means that you are prepared to lie, that you are dishonest. And of course, business owners understand that. I now know that this person tells lies, they're dishonest, they're not loyal to the organization, and you are now on the opposite list. You're not on the valuable list, you're on the how can we get rid of this person list. And it's very difficult to get off that list. It's also the person that isn't promoted, isn't the person who's given more responsibility, isn't the person that the organization wants to have there, because now you are not the person who can be trusted. So before you do that ridiculous telephone call, I feel sick, I can't come in, or worse, send a text message or an email to say that you can't come in, perhaps tell the truth. And so many bosses have said this to me, wouldn't it be refreshing if somebody actually rang and said, I don't feel like coming to work today, so I'm going to have a day off. But then the good etiquette would be, but when I return to work, I would like to know how I can make up for my day off so that my time away hasn't been a challenge to the organisation. So perhaps that's just considered to be good manners. The next really interesting thing that seems to be missing is please and thank you and I'm sorry. And that seems to be missing across the board for bosses and customers and clients and team players and staff. Please, can you help me? Thank you for helping me. And I'm very sorry if I made a mistake. If you're a boss and you don't know how to say sorry, I've made a mistake, or I'm wrong, most bosses will find it very difficult to say that. But all of those are professional etiquette, good manners. Please, can you help me? Thank you for helping me. I'm very sorry I made a mistake. And the beautiful one is I appreciate you. And I'll give you some interesting examples for that. If you go to somebody's house, in normal good manners is that you would buy a gift, whether you take a bottle of wine or you take a pot plant or a bunch of flowers or a box of chocolates, etc. And I always have a giggle because people say it doesn't matter what you take, it's the thought that counts. And my suggestion is, yes, give it some thought. So don't take bottles of wine to people who don't drink alcohol, and don't buy a big box of chocolates for people who don't eat sugar. Put some thought into the gifts that you buy. Now, we do that, I hope we do that, in our normal personal life. So it's good manners when you go somewhere to take a gift, and after you've been there, to send a personal thank you. Not an email, not a text message, but a handwritten note, or to have a gift delivered. Thank you very much for the wow experience that we had together. Now, in business, that happens every single day. A customer or client invests time in your business, or a top business person invests time in you, giving you advice or helping to train your team or helping you with the sales system. Or there's so many things that happen in business on a day-to-day basis that we need to say thank you for. I really appreciate the fact that you took the time to do that for me. And if you have the opportunity to invest time with, or reverse that, a top-level business person has invested time in you, wouldn't it be good manners, wouldn't it be professional etiquette to thank them personally after the event? Not a text message, not an email, but a beautiful gift or something hand-delivered or something special that you've taken note because you've listened in the conversation very carefully about what they like and what they don't like. You could actually send a beautiful gift. So, for example, and I use myself because I have puppy dogs, I love it when people remember my dog's names, obviously. And there's nothing more exciting for me as a business person to have somebody, whether it's a customer or a client or somebody I do business with, to A, know my dog's names and send them a gift. And the coolest thing that's ever happened is Bentley, it was a pleasure to come to your house. We love your mum and dad, but we love you more. So give them a big puppy dog lick for us. And it came with a big bag of pig's ears, which is Bentley, my pit bull's favorite treats, which of course has a lot of thought attached to it and very memorable. And that happened a very long time ago. And I'm sharing that with you because it was a memorable experience. And there seems to be another disconnect in business that being unique, being memorable for the right reasons, not the wrong ones, can be very good for business. So if you understand that people may not do business with you today, they may not buy your product or service today, they may not employ you today, they may not want to have anything to do with you today, but in a week's time, a month's time, 5 years' time, 10 years' time, remember the world's a really small place. And if you have been memorable in somebody's mind because you have good manners, you have superb etiquette, you sent a beautiful gift, it could make a really big difference. So if somebody invests time in you to interview you, never ceases to amaze me that people go to a job interview and they haven't sent a thank you for giving me the time beforehand, and then thank you for investing time with me after the interview, whether you get the position or not. And of course, if you get the position, you'd say thank you. And if you don't get the position, you'd say thank you very much for investing your time. And then what do I need to do differently so that I can be better next time if I want to apply for this position? These are all good manners. And interestingly, as I shared I was brought up where this was really important. Private boarding school, have to have good manners, otherwise you got a whack across the back of the legs, literally. And maybe manners aren't taught anymore. However, if you want to be successful in business, ignorance is no longer an excuse. There are literally thousands, if not hundreds of thousands, of etiquette books that you can get access to online. You don't even have to go to the library, which is for free, or buy a book, which is still really, if you get $1 million deal because you've got good manners, or you lose $1 million deal because you've got bad manners, surely a $30 book on business and professional etiquette is going to be a very minor investment to make sure that you don't make those silly mistakes. So perhaps get educated on what good manners and what superb etiquette actually is. The next thing to consider after please and thank you and I'm sorry and I really appreciate you are the things that give us that first impression. So standing up straight, happy smiley face, excellent presentation, professional presentation. And etiquette is knowing what to wear at the right time to be representative of yourself. So it's not about fitting in with the fashion. It's not about dressing like everybody else. It's about having your own style, but being respectful of the event. And so many business owners have shared with me that obviously the person that came to an interview, for example, was not serious about getting the job because they were dressed so casually. They dressed in shorts and a t-shirt and thongs to go to a job interview. They can't be that serious about getting the job. So it's not about fitting in with everybody else. It's about standing out from the crowd. So who are you? What do you stand for? What do you represent? And then be that person in every area of your life, including the way that you dress. And one great question that I ask myself every day, but it's taught to me a long time ago, literally by an etiquette expert, was, Rowie, before you leave the house, look at yourself in the mirror and ask yourself, do I look like the person who's the very best at what I do? Do I look like I am at the top of my game? Am I dressed as the person that when people look at me, they will say, that woman is dressed for success? And I'll just use that as an example. So it makes getting dressed really easy. So many people seem to have a disconnect between what I'm wearing and how people will respond or react to you. Now, I learned the hard way, and I learned by losing literally hundreds and thousands of dollars, and not for me. When I chat publicly, for example, when I do a professional chat, all of my money goes to the SPCA or the RSPCA. But I've missed out on so many professional speaking gigs because I didn't learn. I'll rephrase. I knew how to dress properly. I just expected that other people should accept me the way I am. And they don't. If I go to Melbourne and I expect to be employed to do a professional chat at a business event, and I'll give you just three classic examples. I lost one event because I didn't wear stockings. It was a professional business chat. I went to share with them my proposal for being the speaker. I had bare legs. It was Melbourne, and professional women have to wear stockings in the eyes of this person. And I just share with you that I can't change that, and I was not ignorant because I was aware that what the professional dress standards are, not just for Melbourne in Australia, but for professional women. I just chose not to wear stockings, and they chose not to give $5,000 to the RSPCA and have me do their professional chat. So stockings cost me, or cost puppy dogs, $5,000. Another classic example was I had two stud earrings in both ears. Now, professional dress for women is only one earring, and I know that. I was brought up with that. I was taught that, but I just wanted to wear two. Well, the people who didn't employ me to do the professional speaking gig didn't care that I knew or didn't know or I didn't care. They just didn't get me to do the chat because I had two earrings in. I had another example where my skirt was too short. I'll rephrase that. My choice of clothing was too short. My skirt was an inappropriate length for a professional woman. And I can easily say, well, they should just accept me the way I am and I want to wear a short skirt. But guess what? They didn't employ me. And money didn't go to the puppy dogs, and people can do whatever they want in business. People will choose to do business or not do business with us for lots of different reasons. So yes, just earrings, stockings and a skirt have been a very unfortunate experience for me, and I'd love for you to learn from my stupid mistakes so you don't make the same mistakes. There's little things that people really take notice of, not everybody, but for example, if you wear sunglasses on top of your head or a hat when you go inside, there are some people who find that to be incredibly rude. If you go to somebody's house and you don't take off your shoes, some people find that to be incredibly rude. Now, even if everybody else has still got their shoes on, it's suggested that you offer to take your shoes off. And I often use this example. I was sitting next to a CEO on the plane, and he was the CEO of a multinational company, one of those guys on the multi-million dollar contracts, the one that people complain about. He's the boss, he earns all the money and we do all the work. Well, there's a reason why somebody earns all the money. If you're very valuable to an organization, if you have good manners and superb etiquette and you help the business make money, they might pay you a lot of money too, which was a conversation that we were having. And he shared with me very happily that when he's looking for top-level executives for his multinational company, he takes them out for two meals. He lets them know which restaurant it is, and he chooses two different meals because he wants to see them on two different occasions at two different restaurants. And he shared with me, I tell them which restaurant it is, and they should do their research. They should find out what the dress code is for that restaurant, and they should find out, obviously, what tableware will be used and what the etiquette would be at that restaurant. And he said, they just don't, and I just don't employ them. Now, he'll never tell you that. He'll never be, and I'll be never tell you who I spoke to, because in a politically correct or incorrect world, you probably would get into big trouble if you said, I'm not going to employ you because you don't know how to use the right knife and fork. But in his mind, they were his tests to make sure that he was getting the right people. He wanted people who had attention to detail, who could do the research, and he could then take anywhere around the world and meet people from any culture, knowing that his top-level executive had done their homework and knew how to dress, which fork and knife to use, and how to communicate effectively with people from all different cultures and different countries and different businesses. So if you are in the position where you are not earning enough money, you don't have the respect of your boss and your team players, you don't feel like your professional career is going in the place that you would like it to go, then perhaps it is some of those really simple things. Be aware that the condition of your shoes, some people won't employ you, or some people will be highly annoyed if you've always got dirty shoes or you don't look after your shoes. There are certain businesses where the presentation is so important that they will share with you at the start, your fingernails have to look a certain way, your hair has to look a certain way, the length of your skirt or your trousers have to be a certain condition, and you have to sign off on that before you become part of that team. If you then break those rules, and I can't put it any other way, if you've signed off on some rules, that's professional etiquette. Then it's not just about good manners, it's about your word, it's about your integrity, it's about who you are. If you've promised on your CV, on your resume, that you're going to be on time, that you're going to be loyal, that you're going to be professional, that you're going to do your job properly, that you can be trusted, and then you sign off on the job description, which includes the uniform standard, the punctuality standard, what that company expects of you, and then you don't do it, it's not just about now your professional etiquette, it's about your integrity. You can no longer be trusted. And I'm sharing that with you so strongly because I'd love you to connect that up. I'd love you to be really aware that there are some people that have the right not to employ you, not to do business with you, not want to have anything to do with you because you don't understand what professional etiquette is. Or even as a step further than that, it's disrespectful. So you might not want to wear a certain dress code to a wedding or to a business networking event, but the dress code was put on the invitation for a reason. You might not want to arrive at a certain time, but the time of the event starting was put on there for a reason. Here's an interesting one. Can I bring my partner? Can I bring my children to a business event or even a social event? It's just bad manners. If your children weren't on the invitation, if your partner wasn't on the invitation, it means they weren't invited. And it means you're putting somebody in a really awkward position. And that's probably the big thing about professional etiquette, is making people feel special, making them feel important, making them them feel respected and never making them feel awkward or uncomfortable. So the reverse of that is that if you see somebody who has bad manners, if you see somebody who's obviously ignorant of the dress code or they're ignorant of what professional etiquette actually is, if you take the true definition of professional etiquette, it's knowing what to do, when to do it, how to do it, and not judging the people who don't know how to do it. And that's when the beauty of a 5-star or 6-star hotel or restaurant becomes very interesting, because the teams at those facilities are trained to help people with the right fork and knife, or help them with where do I put my glass. For example, at Top End, Concierge was just sharing with me that if you use the wrong fork at a restaurant, at a top level restaurant, your waiter will come accidentally drop your fork on the floor and give you a new one, which will be the right fork to be using. They're trained to do that. So be aware that if you are the very best at etiquette, and I will challenge you on that. I'm now surrounded by people who have great etiquette. I like to have people in my life who are respectful and professional and want to learn, so they're not ignorant of good manners. But we're always learning. There's always somebody who's got better manners. And I meet people who make me feel like I've got the worst manners in the world, because they're just so highly educated in that particular area. So I just learn from them. So be aware, if you think you're the best at everything that you do, including good etiquette, that even the best can get better. And ultimately, that definition is that if somebody doesn't know what to do, you'd help them. So perhaps consider not being the ignorant one, like I was for a very short period of time in my life, because I was taught good manners very early. Anytime after that, when you know what to do and you don't do it, well, that's of course called arrogance, and you just have to accept the consequences. So for me, there's been some really ugly consequences and some puppy dogs that have lost a lot of money because I was so arrogant as to not follow the rules of professional etiquette. So I'll share it again. If you want to earn more money, if you want to be promoted, if you want to be given more responsibility, if you want people to respect you, then of course the suggestion is that, do you need to be respectful? And is returning an email on time, is returning a text message, is saying please and thank you and I appreciate you, is dressing well, is being appreciative of the people in your life, are they respectful things that could help your business grow? And that's an answer, of course, that you would need to ask and answer for yourself. If you want your career to be more successful, if you want the people in your life to respect you, then perhaps the question is, what do I need to do to make sure that that happens? And then not moan, whine and complain if it doesn't. So I'm very happy for you to share with me that, Rowie, good manners are no longer in fashion. Interestingly, fashion is designed to go out of style, but style never goes out of fashion, and good manners and professional etiquette may never go out of style.